Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemns sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death. The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. So over the last few weeks, we've been reflecting on resurrection, life from the dead, reflecting what does the resurrection of Jesus from the dead mean for us today? Does it have any meaning at all? What should I do about it? And these four things, I know I've put them up every week just to remind us. When Paul and the apostles spoke about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, what were they talking about? People today might say, oh, this is what I believe about resurrection. Well, never mind that. We have to understand, what were they talking about? What did they understand? Firstly, Jesus was literally, physically, bodily raised from death. It actually happened. Secondly, Jesus' resurrection was unique. While there were others who'd been raised from the dead, what happened to Jesus was unique. It had never happened before. And this is the key. Jesus' resurrection points to life beyond death, as I've done many times before and I'll do again today. We understand Lazarus, for example, he lived and he died. That was the normal course of events. He would live and he would die. That was the full stop at the end of his life. But Jesus called to Lazarus, Lazarus, come out. And he came back to life again. Jairus' daughter similarly lived, she fell ill, she died. That was the end of her life. She was only 12 years old, but that was the full stop. That's what normally happens. That's what happens to everybody. Full stop. And Jesus went and took her by the hand and spoke to her, and she rose again to life. When Jesus died, it was different. Jesus lived and then he died. For a day or two, it looked like that was the full stop. But then God raised him to life again. Not the old life that he had lived before, but a new life. Life beyond death. So there is life, we all live, and there is death. But Jesus was raised to a life beyond death. We'll look at that a little later as well. And the fourth thing I've said each week is the resurrection of Jesus is the basis of the Christian faith. Without the resurrection, the apostles would have had nothing to say. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ has not been raised to you, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Over the last few weeks, as we've reflected on this, what have we looked at? Well, we looked at evidences for the resurrection and the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Lordship of Christ, resurrection and salvation, resurrection and sin, resurrection and life beyond sin. And today, appropriately, we're going to look at resurrection and sonship. Okay? Now, life, death, life beyond death. And this is the picture you have to have in your mind throughout today. All of you, you're going to be life. Does that appeal? I don't know, looking at you. Does it appeal? You're going to be life. This is the life over this side. This is the life we all live. In the middle, this is death. This isn't pointing at anyone, James, but... So we've got life, and in the middle, this is death. This is the ordinary. This is what normally happens. We live, and then we die. That is the full stop. And you guys over here, your life beyond death, okay? And that we need to have this in our mind. This is life. This is us right here, right now. There is death. That's where we're all heading. And then there is life beyond death. That's the expectation. That is the normal. So normally what happens? You live. You're over here and you die. That is the full stop to your life. There's a sense in which we cannot have any other expectation. The only certain thing we're told in life is that one day we will die, and that will be the full stop at the end of your life. It doesn't matter how good you were or how bad you were. It doesn't matter how much money you gave to the poor, how many people you saved. It really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many people you cheated, how often you lied. You will live and you will die, and that will be the full stop at the end of your life. Why is that so? Well, Paul, as he writes his letter in Romans to the church at Rome, chapter 8, verse 2, it says, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. He talks about this thing, the law of sin and death. Now, we all know what law is. Law teaches us how to live. Do this, don't do this, and so on. And if you break the law, there are certain consequences. What is the law of sin and death? And it's really simple. The law of sin and death is this. You sin, you do stuff wrong, and you die. Full stop. That is the law of sin and death. And of course, we have to make clear here, we're not just talking about physical death. We're talking about spiritual death as well, because you know, we all know, we are physical beings and we look after ourselves physically. We may exercise from time to time to keep us looking good. We hopefully eat appropriately to look after ourselves physically. We drink water to look after ourselves physically. We're also emotional beings. We can look after ourselves emotionally, our feelings and so on. They're emotional things. That's who we are. We look after ourselves emotionally. But we're also spiritual beings. We're also spiritual beings. And when we die, the ordinary, the law of sin and death says you live, you sin, and you die. Not just physically, but you die spiritually. And some would say that which is spiritual, that is the true you. And that dies. Now this is what we should expect. Life, death, no, full stop. You live, you die, full stop. Why? Because you sin, you die, full stop. But once something different happens. Once something different happened. And what was that? Well, what we know is that Jesus lived and he did not sin. So the law of sin and death that we mentioned, I mentioned just a moment ago, the law of sin and death, which says you live and if you sin, you will die, full stop. It did not apply to Jesus because he did not sin. So what happens to Jesus? If he did not sin, then the destiny of sin, which for all of us is death, it no longer applies to Jesus. What we do know is this, that when Jesus died, he walked the road that sin had mapped out for us. Now, the road sin had mapped out for us, for me and for you, is you live, you sin, I've got you. You're going to die, full stop. When Jesus died, well, he lived, he didn't sin, but when he died, he walked our road. The road that sin would have us walk on, to death, full stop. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus lived, that's what, our road. Jesus lived and Jesus died. And what haven't they put in there? The full stop. Because something different once happened. Even though Jesus walked our road, which is sin, live, you sin, you die, full stop. He lived, he died, he took our road, he took our sin, he took our place, he died. And what happened? What happened when Jesus died? And as I've suggested before, the clue is in his baptism. See, we have, what do we have over here? Life. Okay, what have we got in the middle, James? Death. Okay, what have we got over here? Life beyond death. And this is where God is. Sorry, folks. This is where God is. This is where the power of the Spirit is. What happened when Jesus died? Jesus lived. He died. He hadn't sinned, but he took the path sin had destined for us. He died. God reached into death and said, Jesus, you are my son. I love you. I am pleased with you. And he reached into death and said, come home with me. That's what God did when Jesus died. He hadn't sinned, but he took our sin. And the full stop looked like it was going to be his as well. God reached down into death and said, Jesus, you're my son. I love you. I am pleased with you. And raised him to life beyond death. And that full stop that is our destiny becomes a comma for Jesus, a pause, a breath. He lived, he died. How was Jesus raised? Well, it was because God said, you're my son, I love you, I'm pleased with you, and raised him to life beyond death. So we have this picture, what is ordinary, what is normal for us. You live, you die, full stop. And then we have what happened to Jesus. Now, there are two ways then, obviously, to live. There's our way, seem pretty simple. We live, we sin, we die, full stop. That's what happened. We live, we sin, we do stuff wrong. What is our destiny? Sin. It's destiny for us, that's destiny that sin has marked out for us, is you're going to die, full stop. Don't worry about it. It's going to happen. But there is another way to live, and that is, of course, is Jesus's way. What did he do? He lived, he died, and he heard the voice of his Father. You're my son, I love you, I'm pleased with you. And God raised him to life beyond death. And here's the thing, there is a choice about which way we live. There is a choice about which way we live. We haven't got to take that which is normal. You might say, yes, we're going to take the way which is abnormal. The different way. That is a choice that we have today. You see, every time Jesus called disciples, what did he say? He said, come, follow me. Let's just say those words. Come, follow me. And elsewhere, let's say it together. Take up your cross and follow me. Now, we might have in our minds, well, what does that mean to follow Jesus? It means in life over here, we're going to follow Jesus. Not a bit of it. Where did Jesus want us to follow? Life, death, come, follow me. The only hope you have. Because sin says you're going to live, die, full stop. Jesus says, come, follow me. Get as close as you can to me, because that's your only hope. Take up your cross and follow me. Where did Jesus go? He lived. He died. He heard the voice of his Father. You're my son. I love you. I'm pleased with you. Come, follow me, he says. And even now, from life beyond death, Jesus speaks to us and says, come on. Come and follow me. And the only way to experience life beyond death, resurrection life, is to make that journey of following where Jesus led. And that is our choice. That is a choice that the Apostle Paul was very clear about. The only way is to follow Jesus, not just in life, but to follow him through death. To take the path that he took. Now, of course, you're going to say, well, how on earth can I do that? I'd quite like to do that, but how can I do that? And it was last week that we reflected for a few minutes on baptism. When we looked at chapter 6 in Romans, what does it say there? We were therefore buried with him, with Jesus. We were buried, see, following Jesus. We were buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And baptism becomes for us this potent symbol where we journey with Jesus. We follow Jesus and we go death, burial and resurrection. And if we decide to be those who follow Jesus, what does God say? He who raised Christ from the dead, Romans 8 verse 11, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. He who raised Christ from the dead, this is God, life beyond death. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. This is where our mortal bodies are, over here. Mortality, aiming for the full stop, will also give life to your bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. And so what God is doing, he's saying, right here, right now, I will give to you resurrection life. The life that doesn't belong here in a sense, the life that only belongs over here, beyond death, resurrection life. God says, I will give life to your mortal bodies. I will give to you right here, right now, that which is experienced here. Life beyond death, resurrection life. So, and what does that look like? And that's probably a very good question. What does resurrection life look like? Sometimes I'm asked, you know, when I die, what will happen? You ever asked? You ever think about that? When I die, what am I gonna what's going to happen? What's going to be like? Will I recognize other people? Will they recognize me? Will anything be the same? You know, the simple answer is, well, there's only one person we have to go on. And that's Jesus. Because there's only one person who's been there. He's been life, death, life beyond death. We can't refer to Abraham or Moses. We can't refer to, any of the greats in the Bible, because they lived and they died. They lived and they died, full stop. That was it, apparently. But Jesus went to life beyond death. What does he bring to us right here, right now? And there's a lovely story in John's Gospel, chapter 20, when the disciples, we're told, were gathered together. And they had locked the door because they were afraid for their lives. They had thought the authorities would come after them. And Jesus appears in their midst. And what do we learn from that experience that God brings to us from Jesus, from the resurrection life, from life beyond death? What does God bring to us? Well, he brings the gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember how Jesus, when he met his disciples, as they were frightened, there he appears with them and he breathes. Just breathes on them. I don't know, did he breathe on them all in one go? Or did he go round breathing on all the disciples? But it's a powerful picture because in Genesis chapter 2, when God had formed Adam, what did God do? He breathed life into Adam. God's life he breathed. And here Jesus breathes the gift of the Holy Spirit. And God says, you can know resurrection life. You can know something of this life, which we think, no, I can only experience it after death. God says, if Christ lives, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, then you can begin to experience this life right now. And Jesus breathes the gift of the Holy Spirit, resurrection life, he breathes upon us. But also, there is the gift of peace. Jesus says, seemingly repetitively, to the disciples, peace be with you. Peace be with you. And this is not just, I feel okay. You know, shut the door, kind of, oof, all noises shut out. This is about wholeness and completeness. This is about, in our lives, it may be that we sometimes think of our lives as a jigsaw puzzle. And we think, if only I could fit everything in its rightful place, and then I'd be at peace. That's what God does. But there's a lot of pieces that God just says, you don't need those bits. But the peace that God brings to us from life beyond death, resurrection life, is the gift of wholeness, completeness, togetherness, the gift of peace. And the third thing you might think is a bit interesting, the gift of purpose. When Jesus met with the disciples on that resurrection day, he breathed the Holy Spirit on them and he said, peace be with you. But then he said this, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And I wonder sometimes, when God the Father sent Jesus, what did he say? What were his instructions? And I'd like to imagine that when the Father sent Jesus, he said, go and live. Go and love. Go and be brilliant. Go and be artistic. Go and be creative. Go and be beautiful. Go and laugh. Go and be joyful. Go and be compassionate. Go and share everything of yourself. And I think just as the Father sent Jesus, so Jesus sends us. And Jesus says, look, the Spirit would live in you. The Spirit of resurrection life would live in you. And how would he send us? Go and be brilliant. Go and be joyful. Go and be beautiful. Go and be creative. Go and be artistic. Go and be loving. Go and be compassionate. Go and be patient. Go and share joy and peace and kindness. Go and do those things. That's how God the Father sent me. Now that's how I'm sending you. And God, right here, right now, shares with us that resurrection life beyond death. Everything, in fact, that God made available to Jesus when Jesus came and lived life. everything that God made available to him is made available to us. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, God will give life to your mortal bodies. And that's how it happens, because Jesus has made the journey and he's broken the power of death as the full stop. And God now pours out his blessing and his goodness and his kindness on us. But there is one other thing. And I regard this truly as the greatest gift of all. It is the greatest gift of all. And this is in Romans 8, 14 to 18. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. The greatest gift is to know God is your Father. That's the greatest gift that God brings to us from life beyond death. That God brings to us of resurrection life. The greatest gift is you're my son. You're my daughter. I love you. I am pleased with you. And if I follow Jesus, God, just like he did with Jesus, God will reach into our life and say to us, you're my child. I love you. I am pleased with you. And God will fill us with life, life that will never end. How is this possible? It is because Jesus lived and he died and God raised him to life beyond death. And now God says, if you follow Jesus, you can experience, even now, you haven't got to wait until you die, you can experience even now resurrection in your mortal bodies. You know, the Apostle Paul in Romans 8, a famous chapter that almost nobody understands, I don't think. You know, he begins, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we like that. And what is condemnation? Well, condemnation is you sin, you die, you are a sinner. That's the condemnation. You're going to die. Full stop. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What has changed? Has God given us something here? No. In Christ Jesus. Where do you think on this spectrum is Christ Jesus? Oh, yes. He's over here, you see. Life beyond death. You see, therefore, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because condemnation, the destiny of death, is here. But if you move over here, life beyond death, you can't be condemned anymore, because condemnation is about dying. And that's what Paul is setting up, that we can understand. That's one way to understand Romans 8, is to set up that life, death, life beyond death. The sinful nature, that's this life. The life led by the Spirit, that's life beyond death, life. That's resurrection life. And God offers to us, follow Jesus, take the road he took, and because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, your life can be transformed. But most deeply and profoundly, you can know that you belong to God. He loves you with a never-ending love. And you say, well, what about the stuff I've done wrong? Jesus has dealt with the stuff you've done wrong. You see, the stuff you've done wrong, your sin, ordinarily it'll end in the full stop. But if you'll follow Jesus, you can walk with him, buried with him, raised with him. Our response may be today that we simply have to bow our heads and pray and give thanks to God. It may be today that our response needs to be very practical. And we need to say, well, baptism is the key symbol, profound. It's more than just a symbol. It is a sacrament. It's where God meets us. It may be that we need to be baptized. If we haven't been, that we may have enacted within our own spirits life and death, and God reaching into our death with Christ and saying, "You're my child, I love you, I'm pleased with you," and granting us new life. Whatever our response is, may God bless us in it. Let's pause and we'll pray for a few moments together. It may be in our response you need to speak to God yourself, just quietly. And speak about to him about your response. It may be that in the quietness you need to note, this is what I'm going to do. Maybe that you say, I am going to be baptized. That's the thing I need to do. It may be that today you think, okay, my resolution with the help of God is to go and be brilliant, to be beautiful, to be compassionate, to be loving, to be good as Jesus was good, to take the life and the hope that God gives, and I'm going to share it as far as I can. And it may be that we just discover within our own hearts there is such negativity and such pessimism, such a sense of hopelessness, that we have to turn from that. We have to repent. We have to acknowledge, I've been living as if death was a full stop, and I've never understood I can follow Jesus through death, and I can experience right now the difference that he lives. In all of what we decide, God is faithful and true. He will not let us go or turn from us. He hears the cries of our hearts and will bless us and keep us and strengthen us and give us courage to be all that we are intended to be and to do all that we need to do. Amen.